Over the years here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, I've always wanted to look at how one can have their own personal Bible study or quiet time with the Lord. But to my knowledge, I've never looked at how to have your own personal devotional time with the Lord. Now, there's no exact science to this, and if you want to do it a little different way, that's okay with me. The key is get into the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you. And I know there are books out there on the market on how to have a devotion, but I can't recommend most of them as I'm not sure which ones are the good ones. And maybe you found some good ones, and that's great. I hope you have. And I understand. Instead, I would recommend reading several times what you have in your hands written by George Mueller. We'll go through that tonight. And you take that with you, and you can read that, and you can go over what he's discovered by the grace of God, and he put it in print for us as well. Now, you might be thinking, if you're not familiar with this guy, George Mueller, who is George Mueller? And here's a picture of him. He lived from 1805 to 1898. He was a believer who lived in England. At times, his faith in the Lord was like that of the Apostle Paul, strong, powerful, amazingly. Only George Mueller was not an apostle. He was just a poor man living literally one day at a time by faith, resting on the promises of God, like God wants you to do, like God wants me to do, in faith. He wanted to prove to himself and not to the world that God answers prayer to those who walk by faith and who ask in faith. And this guy was a tremendous man of God and a tremendous man of faith. Now, a lot of books have been written about him. As you can see, there's a lot of different books here on these overheads. I was going to bring a couple. I asked my wife, I said, where's our books on George Mueller? She said, no, we've got them. And I looked and I couldn't find them. I probably lent them out to somebody and haven't gotten them back. That's the curse of having books and lending them out, is you oftentimes don't get them back. Always put your name on it. 5 years later, someone says, oh, I just found this on my bookshelf and I've been looking for it. You know, that's how that goes. Okay. So, but there's been numerous books written about him, and then there were several written by him. But one I recommend is this George Mueller of Bristol, His Life and Times by A.T. Pearson. A.T. Pearson. Now, I know there are several of you who are quite familiar with Mueller, but for those of you who are not, I need to give you a brief history of this man. Otherwise, as we read about what he has to say about a devotion, you might be thinking, well, what does this guy know anyways? I mean, why should I listen to him and understand what he has to say? The Apostle Paul was a man absolutely driven to live for Christ. And perhaps you think, well, Paul was personally taught by Christ. He's the exception. And he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mueller, on the other hand, he was an average guy living in England, but yet used mightily by the Lord because of his faith. During the time in which he lived, many children were being abandoned, either due to extreme poverty or to death of their parents because of the health issues in the 1800s that were plaguing the poor. One verse that was deeply impressed upon George Mueller was this verse here in Psalm 68:5 that says that God is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. This seemed to really impress him. And he was moved by faith in light of this. Now, when he began thinking about the fatherless and thinking about widows, I'm sure, as well, but basically children. And he's a man that built a number of orphanages and by faith was sustained by God in England at that time. He started out by just taking in a few children. And he had a couple of women who worked with him that would look after them. Mueller had no money of his own to care for them, but he considered this a ministry. You know, and we might be wondering to ourselves, well, what in the world is a ministry? Well, we've defined this from Warren Wiersbe's got a good definition of it. It says, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels, all for the glory of God. Ministry is service, friends, and we want to serve the Lord, and God wants to use you, and God wants to use me. And thus, we want to use his divine resources, but it's designed to meet human needs through loving channels. That's you and me. But it's all to be for the glory of God. Now, Mueller's ministry certainly was to the glory of God. In the first year, he took in 81 children and had 9 helpers. He never revealed to outsiders the financial need of his orphanage. I mean, this was hush-hush with him. He never solicited for money. He felt God can move in the hearts of believers as needed. And God was the only one that needed to know of the dire situation he had before him. I mean, this is an amazing thing. It's kind of nice when somebody calls me and says, Pastor, I have a need, and I'm in this particular situation, and I'm in this situation so that I can then maybe get some folks to help if they want to do that. But George Mueller didn't do that. He didn't even go to his friends and tell them. He just got on his knees and went to the Lord and told the Lord of what his needs are. So here's another picture. Again, suffer the little children to come unto me. Again, these are some of the kids in his orphanage. His ministry eventually grew with taking in more and more children who are starving or who are homeless. And Mueller literally lived day to day in dependence on the Lord, resting on his promises, as we all should in our Christian life. A.T. Pearson, his biographer, gives many examples, and here's one, a quote from him. What did he say? Help had been so long delayed that in one of the houses there was no bread, and in none of them any milk or any money to buy either. It was only a few minutes before the milkman's cart was due that this money came in. So he prayed to the Lord, and can you imagine having the kids getting ready to sit down, and they're all there, and there's no milk, and there's no food, and then all of a sudden some money appears. How it ever came, I don't know. But it came so he could pay the milkman and provide milk for his kids. He says here, faith that thus expects cannot be surprised at answers to prayer. You know, yet we oftentimes are so surprised at answered prayer. We just think like, wow, God answered my prayer, and I just can't hardly believe it. And we're believers, friends, when we say that, things like that. I've said things like that. And I know, like, wow, God has answered our prayer. It was amazing today. We were out in the playground, and we heard it was going to rain today. But we had a great morning, as you know, and we were out there until 1 o'clock, and then at 1 o'clock it started to rain. It was just amazing how the Lord held the rain off. We got our Bible school done. It all went well. God is so very, very gracious to us. Well, he had his first orphanage here, this orphan house that he built. Look at that thing. What would it take to build something like that today? And here's some of the kids in his orphanage. He built this first orphan house through donations provided 100% by believers with no solicitations, not asking, not pleading, not sending a card with poor children starving and saying, we need your money, like you get in the mail. I get in the mail every day from every organization in this country. So he built this first orphan house in Ashley Downs. Mr. Pearson wrote, Mr. Mueller had learned this rare lesson. In this case, he says, and here's another quote, I had a secret satisfaction in the greatness of the difficulties which were in the way. So far from being cast down on account of them, they delighted my soul, for I only desired to do the will of the Lord in this manner. When waiting and wishing only to know and to do God's will, hindrances will give no anxiety, but a sort of pleasure as affording a new opportunity for divine interposition. Amazingly, that he delighted in just seeing how the Lord would answer, and he was a man of faith. This is absolutely amazing. Here's orphan house number two. Another huge structure goes up, amazingly. The Lord continues to bless his work, and the children kept coming as they needed another building. Mueller taught the children a trade so that when they moved on, they would be hireable and able to support themselves financially. And of course, he gave them the gospel multiple times while they lived there. And many had trusted Christ before the age of 10. I'd like to just say something about that, parents, is with your kids, you know. Let me encourage you in leading your children to the Lord, parents. You know, as you faithfully witness to your children and share the gospel with them repeatedly, showing them that they're a sinner, and then being transparent yourself as you're willing to admit you're a sinner and how you've trusted Christ. So as you give your kids the gospel and faithfully do that, and as you live a faithful Christian life which honors the Lord before your children, there's no reason your kids won't accept Christ at a young age. To me, I mean, your parents, they emulate you in so many ways, and if you're a believer in Christ, they will want to be a believer in Christ. If you're involved in a local church, they will want to be involved in a local church. They will want to come and sing these kind of songs. They will want to be involved in that. So you can't stay home and you can't divorce yourself from all of that. You have to be deeply involved with your kids. But I believe certainly your kids should come to Christ at an early age if you would just be faithful to do that. Here's another quote here. This man of God had staked everything upon one great experiment. That's what he calls this. He had set himself to prove that the prayer, which resorts to God only, will help in every crisis, even when the crisis is unknown to people whom God uses as the means of relief to help. Another quote from this book by A.T. Pearson, page 166. Amazing what this guy would do, and amazing what prayer can do when he just looked to the Lord here. So the kids kept coming, and what happens next? Orphan House 3 and Orphan House 4. These are massive structures. What would it cost you to build a place like that today? Whew! A lot of money. And he's not soliciting anybody for this. He's just praying to the Lord. God is bringing these children to him, and he's building orphan houses, sharing the gospel with them, and caring for them. Well, the children kept coming, and the Lord kept providing with additional buildings, clothing, food. Every single item was provided by the Lord. Even all the windows and doors to these buildings were donated by a window company owned by believers. Near the end of his life, people worldwide were beginning to hear about his great experiment of taking God at his word. And so he was taking speaking engagements to urge people onto this rest of faith, or this faith rest life. Okay? What is the faith rest life? It's taking God's promises and resting by faith on them. Thus, we need to have knowledge of the Word of God mixed with faith equals this faith rest life. It isn't a life of struggle oftentimes. It's a life of rest, and it's a life of faith that we need to have as we rest on the promises of God and walk by faith in our Christian life. Absolutely amazing. Before you know it, Orphan House number 5 at 1500 orphans at Ashley Down here. Okay? This man, from his 70th to his 87th year, now I'm not even at 70 yet, from his 70th to his 87th year, when most men are withdrawing from all activities, had traveled in 42 countries and over 200,000 miles, a distance equivalent to nearly 8 journeys around the globe. I mean, there was no jets to fly in those days, so you had to probably go by ship if you were going to go at all, or balloon if you wanted to try that, I don't know. He estimated that during these 17 years, he addressed over 3 million people. And from all that gathered from records of these tours, we estimate that he must have spoken outside of Bristol, England, where he was from, between 5,000 and 6,000 times. Whew! This guy is amazing. This guy is like the Apostle Paul. He's absolutely amazing at what God is doing. Look at the kids in this picture. I mean, there's 1,500 orphans there at one place. Can you imagine not asking God for a dime and God supporting all that? Just this man on his knees in prayer, praying before the Lord. And this guy speaks, we need to be listening to what he has to say. That's what's coming. Okay? Here's another quote. Mr. Mueller went nowhere without meeting converted orphans or hearing of their work, even in the far corners of the earth. Sometimes in great cities, 10 or 15 would be waiting at the close of an address to shake the hand of their, quote, father, unquote, and tell them of their debt and gratitude and love for him. That's amazing. What an impact this man had on people. Pearson then goes on to tell of how Mueller recorded in detail in a journal all of his prayers and then the date when God answered them. There's a challenge for you. You can have a prayer journal and you can write down all your requests and write them down on one side of the page. And then as God answers those prayers, you can see his faithfulness and write down when he answered those prayers. There's a challenge for you. that you could do and see how faithful God is. Perhaps you'd like to do the same. He says, one look at the above figures and facts and remember that here is one poor man who depended on the help of God only in answer to prayer, saw God faithful to His Word. Amazing, amazingly. He could look back over 60 years in Christ and see how He had built 5 large orphan houses and taken into His family over 10,000 orphans. So here's this spot on Ashley Downs in Bristol. And these are the houses that he built. Someone had drawn these, and these were on a page. It came out of some book someplace. I didn't make this up. So this was all there, but I just thought I'd show you some pictures of this guy and what he had done. Just to impress you, maybe you want to get that book. I'm sure you could get it from Amazon.com. If you were going to Duluth, I think they have it in their bookstore. We do not have it on our table here, but I'm sure you can get it in most bookstores. It's the one by A.T. Pearson, George Mueller of Bristol. Okay? Maybe I have another quote here. To summarize Mr. Mueller's service, we must understand his great secret. Such a life and such a work are the result of one habit more than all else. What would that be? That would be daily, frequent communion with God. Unwearied in supplications and intercessions. We have seen how in every new need and crisis, prayer was the one resort, the prayer of faith. That's amazing, isn't it? I think I have a few verses here I'd like to share with you about that. Well, there's the rest of that quote. I should have put that up there. I'm sorry I didn't there, but I read it to you instead. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. George Mueller knew his God. He knew what he could provide for him. Absolutely amazing. And I mean, do we claim that promise? I wish I could say I do. I don't. This guy, I'm humbled by this guy. Here's another one. Isaiah 65:24, God says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. God already knows what we're praying before we pray. And here he's got these kids waiting to eat, and he's already sending checks or cash or shillings or whatever he sent to pay for these different things. And these are just excerpts from the book. You can read the book and probably get a lot more things out of this book here. Here's a passage from Luke 11:9-10. So I say to you, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. We have to ask in faith. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So now that brief background of the man, let's now look at what he had learned in a life of truly learning to abide in Christ. Let's pick up your piece of paper that I gave to you as we want to look at that here for just a few minutes here. Remember, Mueller was a poor man to the world, but he was a spiritual giant in the life of faith. There's no doubt about that. Here's a picture of his study. As we read through your handout, George Mueller's personal study was in orphan house number 3. And this is where his devotions took place on a daily basis that you're about to read about. So please follow along as we go through your handout here for a minute. Again, there's the Word of God. You're going to back that up and leave that right there. Let's look at your handout. Ready? While I was staying at Nailsworth, it pleased the Lord to teach me a truth irrespective of human instrumentality as far as I know, the belief of which I have not lost, though now more than 40 years since have passed away. So Mr. Mueller had been practicing this type of devotion for 40 years already when he wrote this piece of paper here. Okay, let's go back to it. The point is this. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord. I would say refreshed would be a word that we could use or we could think about. Or to walk in fellowship with the Lord would be another way to say that. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state. In other words, experience the joy of the Lord. and how my inner man might be nourished. For I might seek to get to set the truth before the unconverted. I might ask to benefit believers. I might seek to behave myself as it becomes a child of God in this world. And yet not being happy in the Lord, or being in fellowship, we could say, and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, all this might not be attended to in the right spirit. In other words, it's just like us in our Christian life. We can do things, minister, you know, work, serve in the nursery, serve at Vacation Bible School, serve as an usher, serve as a Sunday school teacher, whatever, and we can do it out of fellowship with God, not in this right spirit. In other words, you could minister in the flesh. Or you may minister for the wrong reasons, or even with the wrong motive. Okay, and sometimes we can even do that in our homes as moms and as dads. You know, all of a sudden you see your name is on the nursery schedule this week, and so you think, well, I guess I have to do it. I guess I have to go in there and put my time in, and your heart is not in it. Or maybe you're ministering, and you're not rejoicing in the Lord, but you're grumbling while you're in the nursery, you know. Good grief, I got to do this again, you know. It was tough for me to have to go in the nursery to take care of little kids. And I'd always go in there and say, who's in charge here? And some woman would be in charge and say, what do you want me to do? Go over there and play with the older kids, Dave. Okay, that's what I'd do. Because I'd know my place is not to lead in there. Just tell me what to do, and I would have to do it. And I would have to do it as unto the Lord. And sometimes that nursery can be very, very difficult, especially if some kid is crying the whole time. It can be very hard on you, but you have to do it as unto the Lord. Or maybe as you're ministering, you're not rejoicing in the Lord, but again, like I mentioned, you're grumbling. You know, there perhaps could be a person with you that maybe is in fellowship, that could be singing or humming a hymn or whistling, or you can just sense they have the right attitude about what they do, and they're ministering in the nursery and doing whatever. Now, you don't have to sing out loud, but you need to have a song in your heart in whatever you do. You need to do it as unto the Lord. That's the idea. Okay? So we're at the end of paragraph 2. Let's go back to these devotions here and look at these devotions again. And yet not being happy in the Lord and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, all this might not attend to my in a right spirit. In other words, I might do this not in fellowship. And that's why we all always allow time for prayer for people before the service so that you can bow your hearts, you can be in fellowship as we hear and teach the Word of God. Paragraph 3. Before this time, my practice had been, at least for 10 years previously, as a habitual thing to give myself to prayer after having dressed in the morning. Now, sometimes I pray before I even get out of bed because I just think, Lord, I need to check in with you. I need to be in fellowship before my feet hit the floor, because I want to be dependent upon you. That's a good idea to pray, but he is emphasizing here is prayer is the whole thing. And this sounds like a normal devotion. I'm off the handout now. And that is praying to the Lord in the morning. Now, Mueller is going to describe for us that he had discovered and what really worked for him in giving him the spiritual resources and strength to live his life as unto the Lord. At the time that he wrote this, remember that he had been doing this for 40 years already. This guy's got some experience. This guy is somebody that we need to listen to. So we're in the second sentence of the third paragraph, right? Here we go. Now I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate, or to meditation on it. Okay? What happens when we do just that? Thus that my heart may be comforted. Notice that. You might want to underline that word. Encouraged. Warned. Reproved. Or instructed. And thus, whilst meditating, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. He says, I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. So he would take some time. He would read and he would meditate, right? Paragraph 4. The first thing I did after being asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word was to begin to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, in every verse to get a blessing out of it. You know, do I see Christ here? how do I see him, and how is this going to minister to me, and try to draw out from the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God can be like a lemon. You know, you just need to squeeze it a little bit more. There's always more truth to get out of the Word of God. Okay? He goes on to say, not for the sake of the public ministry of the Word, not for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. And friends, this is a key for you and for me to get nourishment for our own soul first and foremost. Okay, let's keep reading. The result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after very few minutes my soul had been led to confession, perhaps, or to thanksgiving, I would underline those words, or to intercession, or to supplication. So that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. And that's why you can, when you're reading the Word of God and you're meditating upon the Word of God, the Lord can speak to you and show you things so that you may go to prayer. You may go to intercede. You may think of another person. And as you're reading carefully, and that's why it's not the fact that I need to sit down and crank out the chapter, boom, and read the Word of God, okay, I've done my duty. But as you read, you want to read slowly. You want to read methodically. You want to read carefully. And you want to try to get the thrust of the text of it so that God can speak to you through these things. So what Mr. Mueller was saying is that the passage that he was reading in the New Testament was actually driving his thought process. And that's why as we're taking in the Word of God, the Spirit of God can use His Word in our hearts, and it can get into our thinking, get into our head. And it can drive our thought process, because God wants to speak to us from His Word. He wants us to see the truth of the Word of God. There's just no doubt about that. So, a couple thoughts here I'll give you here. The actual verses were convicting him of sin, perhaps, so that he could stop reading and immediately confess to the Lord if that was the need. Two, or a verse could cause him to think of someone else, and so he would stop reading and immediately intercede on their behalf in prayer. Is that sometimes when you read and you read about suffering or you read about someone else and that person comes to mind, you can stop there and just take that as from the Lord as He's impressed upon you, and you can just go to the Lord in prayer for that person. Okay? Number three, or a verse could cause him to rejoice, and he would stop reading and immediately give thanks to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing and for speaking to my heart about this issue. In other words, the Lord Himself was using the text of the New Testament to actually interact with the soul, spirit, and mind of this man. And that's why when we read the Word of God, you know, we're having this personal relationship. The Spirit of God authored the Word of God, and if you have the Spirit of God, there should be a spirit of connection on that level. Whereas you read the Word of God, and as you read slowly and think and meditate, ponder, that God can then speak to your heart and address an issue, whatever it might be. We must remember that this is not just some old dusty history book that we have in our hands. It's the eternal, life-changing Word of God, friends. So we should be here in Hebrews 4. Let's look at a verse here. Let's look at Hebrews 4. 12. What a great verse this is. For the Word of God is living, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce us, even to the division of soul and spirit. In other words, it can get right to the internal part of us where God wants to address whatever issue is there. Okay? To the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Amazing. God's Word is alive. It's powerful. It's cutting. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of our way of doing things instead of seeing it from God's point of view and how He wants us to do things. Okay? Let's continue reading here on Mueller's explanation, paragraph 5. When thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication, or have given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse. turning all, as I go on, into prayer for myself or others as the Word may lead to it. But still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. In other words, he came first and foremost to feed his own soul. The result of this is that there is always a good deal of confession, invariably in my soul, is even sensibly nourished and strengthened, that by breakfast time, with rare exceptions, I am in a peaceful, if not a happy, state of heart. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. Thus also the Lord is pleased to communicate unto me that which very soon after I have found to become food for other believers. Though it was not for the sake of the public ministry of the Word that I gave myself to meditation, but for the profit of my own inner man. Back up in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for a minute, and let's look at a verse or two there. 1 Timothy 4. This is the pastoral epistle. The Apostle Paul is writing to his dear, beloved friend Timothy. Timothy's at Ephesus. He's battling the beast there as a pastor. And he's giving him words of wisdom that he needed to hear and understand. So let's just jump in chapter 4, verse 12. Timothy, let no one despise your youth. He was a younger man. But be an example to believers in your words, in your conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come to you, Timothy, give attention to reading the Scriptures, to exhorting the Scriptures, to teaching the Scriptures. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Notice verse 15 and 16. Meditate on these things, Timothy. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all or to others. Notice again, take heed to yourself. Feed yourself. And to the doctrine or to the teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this you will both save yourselves, and I take the word save, there's to be second tense salvation. Save both yourself and those who hear you in your teaching. And I believe that's true for any pastor, that as you take heed to yourself, just like Mueller wanted to do here, he wanted to teach others, he wanted to impact those orphans in his orphanage, but he sensed he had to feed his own soul to be strengthened in the Lord so that it could spill out towards others. So we see that Mueller allowed the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to actually communicate the things that God wanted him to pray for to him. Or he communicated to Mueller the things that he wanted him to confess, things that Mueller might not even have thought of. That happens oftentimes. And so certain verses actually stimulated prayer for himself or prayer for others. Or they caused him to rejoice, or they caused him to be thankful. Second page. Okay? Second page. The difference between my former practice and my present one is this. Formerly, when I arose, I began to pray as soon as possible, and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour or even an hour on my knees. I've never done that. An hour on my knees? My knees couldn't take it. Oh, I feel like a spiritual pygmy or just a midget next to this guy. Before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul, and often after having suffered much from wandering of mind. Anybody here know what that means? Happens all the time. You go to prayer and you start thinking and your mind is here and your mind is there. Wandering of the mind. Even this great man had that problem. That encourages my heart. I'll start again. And often after suffering much from wandering of the mind of the first 10 minutes or quarter of an hour or even a half an hour, I only then began really to pray. I think of all of us can relate to this, especially early in the morning. Your mind is wandering and you're not able to concentrate. Or even at the end of the day, you know,
If you lay in bed with your wife and praise, and my wife prays first, I don't pray. I sleep. That's how that goes. So I usually have to pray first, or it's going to be over. You know, that's kind of how that goes. Oof, no pray in bed. Okay? Or even at the end of the day when you're tired from your work and school or taking care of the kids. Second paragraph. I scarcely ever suffer now in this way, for my heart being nourished by the truth, being brought into experimental fellowship with the Lord, with God. I speak to my father and to my friend, vile though I am and unworthy of it, about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. And that's why, you know, when we pray and we look to the Lord, God speaks to us through his word, at least through the teaching of the word of God. So as we read and as we meditate, then there should be this two-way street. You know, the word of God feeds us, and we should be talking to the Lord. We should be thanking the Lord. We should be praying to him. It's just like, you know, you have a conversation with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your mate, and if they're not responding, there is no two-way street of communication. Hey, are you listening to me? You know? Not always, because sometimes my mind has wandered other places and my wife just looks at me and knows, let him go. Let him, because he's occupied. He's thinking. He's going in another direction. Okay? Second, let's see, where am I at here? Now, this next paragraph is what I mentioned earlier, is that there are books out there on how to have devotions. But again, can I recommend those books? I don't know. Maybe you found some really good ones that work for you. But this Mueller way, this Mueller manner of interacting with the text is a very good way to have a devotion. You're spending time with the Lord. Paragraph 3. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this, for in no book did I ever read about it. No public ministry ever brought the matter before me. No private discourse with a brother stirred me up to this matter. And yet now, since God has taught me this point, and who else is the best teacher, friends, but the Word of God? I mean, look up here for a minute. When the God promised the coming of the Spirit of God, he says, I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he will be with you, and he will be in you. He's the teacher that can really teach. And even if he uses me to teach the Word of God and communicate it, it's the Spirit of God that drives that point home to you in your thinking. Let me read this line again. And yet now, since God has taught me this point, it is as plain to me as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do morning by morning is to obtain food for his inner man. His inner man. Reminds me of a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, and mine is, yet the inward man, when you meditate upon the Word of God, is being renewed day by day. The outward man is going to perish. There's just no doubt about that. And of course, Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. It's 24/7 trying to squeeze me into its mold. But instead I'm to be transformed. And how? By the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Back to the text here. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time except we take food. And this is one of the first things that we do in the morning. So it should be with our inner man. We should take food for that, as everyone must allow that. Now, what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it in our hearts. And this is, again, friends, easy to do, to just to sit down and say, well, I need to read this chapter today. Boom, I've read it. I'm in and out of here. But instead, to take some time to meditate. Better to read less and read slowly and thoroughly, asking the Lord to show you so that he can then use the Word of God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, so that the inward man can be renewed day by day. And I don't want to discourage you from reading your Old Testament, because there's some good stuff in the Old Testament as well. But I would say that Mueller, or as Mueller mentioned, the New Testament would be better for this type of devotion, in particular reading the epistles. That's what he wants us to read. The last paragraph now. I dwell so particularly in this point because of the immense spiritual profit and refreshment I am conscious of having derived from it myself. And I affectionately and solemnly beseech all my fellow believers to ponder this matter. Think about this. By the blessing of God, I ascribe to this mode the help and strength which I have had from God to pass in peace through deeper trials in various ways than I had ever had before. And after having now above 40 years tried this way, in other words, here I've put this to the test, 40 years of doing it. Let's keep reading. I can most fully in the fear of God, commend it. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning from what it is and without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day come upon one. And now, not everyone can do that, because not everyone can fire out of bed and do that. So you might want to do it later in the day, or find a time. Maybe you commute and someone else drives, or you take the commuter train, or you're on the bus, and you have your iPad, and you could read a few verses. You know, you could ponder that and do that at that time. I don't know when you can do it, but you need to think about it. Mueller is trying to encourage you to do it early in the day. I can most fully fear the God. Did I read that part or not? Probably almost the last line there. I can most fully in the fear of God commend it. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning from what it is when without spiritual preparation the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day come upon me. So the idea is that we would take this advice to heart from a man who truly knew what it meant to have a close relationship with the Lord. And that's how he did it, friends. You got the information right in your hands. At his funeral, thousands upon thousands of orphans lined the streets for miles in honor of this man who cared enough to take them in and feed them, clothe them, and in many cases lead them to Christ. So here's the funeral of George Mueller in 1898 in England. People lined the streets, the orphans, to see him there. On his tombstone, many of the orphans gave donations to have a large gravestone placed at his grave site. And this is what it said. In loving memory of George Mueller, founder of the Ashley Down Orphanage, born September 27th, 1805, fell asleep March 10th, 1898. Believers only fall asleep. They don't die. They just go into the presence of the Lord. The body sleeps. The soul and spirit live forever, friends. Now, as I read this inscription on the gravestone, you can tell that the orphans that had once been under his care put verses on there that they had been reminded of consistently by Mr. Mueller. What did it say? Here it is. He trusted in God with whom nothing shall be impossible, and in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in his inspired word, which declares that all things are possible to him that believeth, and God fulfilled these declarations in the experience of his servant by enabling him to provide and care for about 10,000 orphans. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think this last quote says it all about this guy, George Mueller. It was a letter to the great missionary of China, J. Hudson Taylor. Here's this last quote and what he had to say. On him, then reckon, to him, on him depend, and he assured, let me restart that again. On him then reckon, to him look, on him depend, And he assured that if you walk with him, look to him, and expect help from him, he will never fail you. In the greatest difficulties, in the heaviest trials, in the deepest poverty and necessities, he has never failed me, because I was enabled by his grace to trust in him, and he has always appeared for my help. Amazing. Amazing. So, I'm just trying to share this with you, friends. Again, this is one place that you can do, and you can read this over and over and over again for your own personal devotions. You don't have to have a fancy book to do that. But again, there are some books on the market, and I have a couple books here that I'd like to share with you that I find to be pretty good. Matter of fact, I've got this one here called None But the Hungry Heart that I bought years ago. This is a devotional anthology. I'm not sure if this is even in print anymore, but there are short devotional thoughts in here. And what I do, and you can come up and look at these afterwards if you want, is every time I read one, I put a check by it so that I just keep reading through this book again and again and again, because I have found this book to be very, very helpful for me. Now, you can go online to this, and I would just type in None But the Hungry Heart in the Google slash, and you'll be able to go. You can download this free online. I mentioned this to Rick Thorson, and he said it takes some paper. This is Rick's copy of this. He made his own copy. It's in a bigger print than mine, but here he's got it all together. And then he put a cover in the back, and he put a spiral bounding on it. This is Rick Thorson's copy, his own personal copy. This is the one I bought years ago. This was $18. I can see you can get it $14.95 plus shipping. That's what it said. And you can try to go to this Michael and Donna Doyle. Did you ever go there, Rick? Never did. Okay. But I went to that site, and I did see you could order it. And I really enjoy Miles Stanford. I quote him oftentimes. So when oftentimes I go down to my office, I'll read two or three of these devotions, and I will pray, and I will look to the Lord before I start my study time. Or you could do what George Mueller is recommending here by just taking a chapter at a time from the New Testament, reading carefully and quietly to do that. Now, I have a number of other books here. I've tried to collect a bunch of books by Charles or by Miles Stanford. We've sold on our book table. Do we still have any of these on the book table, Joe? Do you know? Yeah, The Complete Green Letters. I think you can get this in CBD if you could order this. You go there. And it's a great book. And inside this book are all these books. Because these are the smaller books that he's written. Principles of Spiritual Growth, Abide Above, The Ground of Growth, The Line Drawn. And I don't know, this is a book of Hebrews by M. R. DeHaan. I didn't mean to bring that, but I did. But you can get this book online, and all those smaller books are put in here. This is The Complete Green Letters. Green Letters meaning this is growth truth for believers. Not so much birth truth to get people saved, but growth truth to grow on. And I recommend, there's only a couple of things in here that I would disagree with about this, and you can do that, or you can do what George Mueller's done and what we set forth here. So I just wanted to mention a couple of different ways you could have your own devotion and have a valuable devotion as you read God's Word. Pastor Oxford has told us over and over again, just read the Word of God. If you would just read it, and not just to zip through it, but to read it, to get to know it. I mean, hopefully you're reading the book of Hebrews. You've probably read it 20, 25, 30 times, right? No, but hopefully that's true. Then you're reading through it, so you're getting a handle on the book of Hebrews. That's what you want to do. Because by the time you get to chapter 10 or 12, you forgot the first couple of chapters and what was said. And this is one way that you can keep your mind being renewed. And I try to go back and read books that I've read, and I find myself thinking, man, I haven't thought about those verses for a long time. And I read 1 and 2 Peter just the other day. I just taught those about 2 years ago. So the Word of God is not something that stays in your thinking apart from you meditating on it, reading it, and letting your mind be occupied with it. Any questions? This is what I have for you tonight. So it helped me because I didn't have to prepare a message and do a lot of study because of Bible school. Sunday we'll be back in Hebrews. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for your grace and again for the opportunity to read this and to understand again from the Word of God how we can have a devotion, how we can have a quiet time and a profitable time with the Lord, allowing you to speak to us so that we can stop, pray, meditate, intercede on behalf of others, Father. Thank you again for George Mueller. What a man of God he was. Father, we are just amazed that he could do all what he did for these orphans based upon just coming to you, believing your word, telling you his needs, and you provided it for him. That is amazing. Father, we would love to, one day love to have a building of our own, and we could just begin to pray and think about that, that you could provide that by the grace of God. You own the cattle on all the hills. We see what you did even with George Mueller in England, providing a place for us to meet here, Father, apart from the Calvin School would be wonderful as well. But we need your grace. We need to know, Father, that you are providing it and you are leading us in all of that. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.